J.J. Johnson is considered the father of modern jazz trombone. He got his start touring with the big bands of Benny Carter and Count Basie, and then moved to New York, where he performed with musicians at the vanguard of the new music bebop, like Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie, and Miles Davis. 17 years ago, Johnson virtually gave up his performance career to move to Los Angeles to compose and arrange music for movies and television. He worked on such programs as Starsky and Hutch, Mod Squad, That Girl, and movies including Cleopatra Jones and Across 110th Street. Now it's time for another change. J.J. Johnson is returning to his hometown, Indianapolis, and more important for jazz listeners, he's returning to the jazz scene. He's wrapping up a national concert tour. And RCA Bluebird has just reissued on compact disc his big band recordings from the 60s, including this 1964 performance of his composition El Camino Real. When I spoke to J.J. Johnson from Los Angeles, he told me why it was harder to keep up with the fast tempos of bebop on trombone than it was on trumpet and saxophone.
Visually, you can just picture it in your mind's eye, the fact that the saxophone player has these keys and buttons, as people call them, and the trumpet player has the same thing, but whereas the trombone has this ungainly, awkward-looking, long, tubular slide that he has to manipulate, it is awkward. And it's kind of a tricky situation to manipulate the trombone in such a manner as that you can conveniently and articulately play so-called bop and or the other modern forms of jazz.
You got your start playing in big bands. You played with Count Basie, with Benny Carter. How did you first hear modern jazz? How did you first hear bop?
My first, I guess you'd say the soloist that had the first impact on me that would be categorized as jazz or contemporary jazz improvisation would be Lester Young. In the old Count Basie days, some of the old great Count Basie records were classics that had Lester Young in full bore in his career. And from that, I would go to people like, of course, Dizzy and Bird came on the scene and changed everything around. Jazz did 180 degrees once Diz and Bird popped on the scene. So between Lester Young, Bud Powell, Diz and Bird, and people like that, those were my first impressions of so-called modern jazz, including bebop.
When you heard modern jazz and you knew you wanted to play it and you knew you'd have to find a way to play rapidly on the trombone, what did you isolate yourself for a while and just start practicing a lot to learn this new idiom?
You just said it, Terry. It was a question of practice, 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 research, research, research. I must say I got a lot of encouragement from people you would never believe it. Dizzy Gillespie. Dizzy plays trumpet, but you'd be surprised what Diz knows about trombone. And I recall vividly situations where Diz would sit down with me and just show me different ways of playing or executing a given passage on the trombone. And sure enough, it was better the way he would indicate and so forth. And just from practice and struggling and, listening and practice, practice, practice.
You were, back in the early 50s, one of the few people who could play modern jazz on trombone. Was there much of a call for it? Did many of the musicians show an interest in having a trombonist in the group?
There was some minimal interest. Yes, I can't say that there was a hue and cry, and no one was tearing my door down for contemporary jazz trombone or bebop trombone. But little by little, more and more guys started to get into the act. Let's say Kay Wending, Benny Green, a few guys started to dabble in that area of jazz, so that before you knew it, the trombones were holding their own with the saxophonists and with the trumpet players and whatnot.
How did you get to record with Charlie Parker?
Oh, it happened with different record producers such as Teddy Rigg and Al Lyons with the old Blue on the old Blue Note label, whatnot. Norman Granz was another guy who liked to just put together unusual and unlikely combinations of jazz players just to see what would happen. In fact, jazz at the Philharmonic got started that way. That was his kicks, just putting together groups of various guys and just, as he said that time, watch the sparks fly.
I think it was 1952 to 54, you basically left music for a while. What kind of job did you get during those years?
I don't recall specifically. It was a 9-to-5 job, and it was just a question of stepping outside the jazz arena, as it were, just to evaluate, take inventory, and I guess you might say that my life and my career in general has been kind of like that. I've on occasion stepped outside just to get a better view of what was going on with myself, what was going on with jazz, what was going on with modern jazz. So it was just a part of my way of evolving as a musician, as an artist.
When you returned to jazz in 1954, you organized the quintet with trombonist Kay Winding. How
right.
did you two get together?
That's an unusual story. You know, the original plan came from Teddy Rigg, who was a record producer, jazz record producer at that time. And his original plan was to form a team of two trombones between Benny Green and J.J. Johnson. Well, it so happened that Benny Green had what we would call a light regional hit going at that time. I don't recall what the song was or what the hit was, but he was making a little bit of noise and he was getting quite a bit of action, meaning he was quite busy. So to make a long story short, Teddy Rigg said, well, if we don't get Benny, we'll get Kay Winding and we'll put JJ and Kay together. And there you have it. That's how J and Kay came about.
Up leaving New York for Los Angeles to do music for movies and television?
Well, I had had this, I guess you might call it an urge for some time, and the urge got stronger and stronger to get involved in film composition and film scoring. And I ran across a couple of old buddies, Quincy Jones and Lalo Schifrin, who were already into that area, and they gave me some encouragement about coming to Los Angeles and trying it out. And sure enough, in 1970, I moved to Los Angeles to have a go at it. And it worked out very well. I did some film scoring, some feature film scoring, and quite a bit of television episodic scoring and whatnot. Worked out very fine, as a matter of fact.
Well, you're making another big change in your life now. You're leaving Los Angeles. You're leaving the business of scoring for television and movies. And you're going to be returning to your hometown in Indianapolis. And you're touring now and performing again. What's the reason for this new shakeup in your life?
I lived in New York for a number of years, loved every minute of it, still have an ongoing love affair with New York City. But there came a time in my life, and my wife felt the same way, my wife Vivian, and I felt it was time to make a change, a dramatic change. And we've loved living in Los Angeles, and Los Angeles has been good to us. And again, we have a love affair with Los Angeles, but again, it's time for a change, a dramatic change, and we're both from Indianapolis. The logical place to go is home.
Trombonist J.J. Johnson.